Well, good early morning to you. And we are continuing now with Rays and the Initiations, number 74, starting on page 585. Just a little bit of, I think, what the Tibetan said would be useful earlier. Let's see, right here. He said, only the first two initiations, which are implemented by the Christ, and which are under the supervisory probation of the spiritual hierarchy, are as yet possible to humanity. So we're seeing that the initiation of the Transfiguration is not yet possible for the masses of human beings, but increasingly will be the case during the Age of Capricorn, I suspect, when that particular sign, which is most associated with the third initiation, is the reigning sign of the precessional age. But we can, he says, study the effects of these rays where the individual disciple is concerned, because later initiations from the third onward are administered by the Lord of the world from his high place in Shambhala. And this is even though his presence extends into the causal field from which the third initiation and I suspect the beginning of the fourth initiation are administered. In the present world period, these initiations are individually administered and registered and are undergone consciously and with an entirely awakened consciousness. Of course, the question is, will the candidate necessarily remember? In some cases, it seems yes. In other cases, the jury is still out on the memory factor. So going on here to number 74, it will be apparent to you that I shall necessarily have more to say anent the first three initiations and the ray effects upon the initiate and upon humanity, notice he always does both, than will be possible when the higher initiations are under consideration. The effects of ray impact in the first three initiations come via the soul. Now, I do have to point to a statement. There is a statement that the third initiation is taken. Okay, let's see how this goes. Third initiation is taken on the ray on the ray of the monad. But elsewhere, he seems to say that it is taken on the ray of the soul, and maybe both are involved. I have kind of a theory that because the ray of the triad, the secondary ray of the triad, that is of the permanent atoms in the spiritual triad, are the same as the ray of the soul, even the Buddhic permanent atom and the Atmic permanent atom. And this, as I said, the secondary ray of the triad, because the monad also has an influence in coloring the triad. Because this is so, that soul ray continues to be important in the later initiations as a sub-ray, even up to the point of the taking the mastership initiation. It's taken on the ray of the monad, yes, in a way, and yet the secondary ray of the triad seems to be important for the fourth degree initiate and also for the fifth degree initiate. Beyond that, I think strictly the ray of the monad is operative. Okay, so the effects of ray impacts in the first three initiations come via the soul. And the initiate is, during this period, a struggling aspirant, and we might say even as a candidate for the third initiation. A struggling aspirant under the inspiration and stimulation of the hierarchy of which he is becoming increasingly aware. So there are struggles, and the question is, in the later initiations, are there struggles too, or do we redefine the struggles so they don't look like the struggles of the earlier initiations? It seems that on our planet, everything is directly related to struggle, because pain is so much felt on our planet more than on any other in our solar system. After the third initiation, which is in reality, as you well know, the first major initiation, the ray energy is applied, if I may use such an inadequate word, via the spiritual triad using the Antakarana. And this suggests the importance of the monadic ray, and yet the ray of the soul is also the secondary ray of the spiritual triad, and that has to be held in mind. You know, at least this is my speculation based on some pretty close study and research of the matter, but if it proves wrong, then I will be notified of this in good time, I suppose. After the fourth initiation, the effects are felt predominantly in the initiate's group and in his field of service. We say the initiate has dealt with the individual matters. And there he constitutes a point of tension, and which is an aperture for certain energies. I think that's another way of defining point of tension, an aperture for certain energies. There he constitutes, within this group or field of service, a point of tension that precipitates great points of crisis, which, of course, lead to emergence and victory. His own point of crisis and of tension are existent, but mysteriously only in relation to his consciousness of the group in which he plays an increasingly potent part. So the formula, individual and group, still remains. So obviously every advancing unit of being consciousness in the cosmos will have a certain point of tension. But I guess DK is telling us the increasingly group effect of the master's point of tension, or the candidate for mastership of the point of tension of such a candidate. So DK is emphasizing the increasingly group effect of the master's point of tension, and even of the point of tension of the candidate for mastership. Well, you know, this whole mystery of how we re-become the group is a pretty deep mystery. You know, it seems that we might remain individual forever, but you know, where is the individuality we had in previous cosmoses. Really, we're only one being, and the individuality we seem to have within a particular universe is a temporary and useful illusion to make sure that all the various emanations of the One do their job, or that the One does its job through the temporary emanations of itself. Okay, but only in relation to the consciousness of a group in which he plays an increasingly potent part. So, you know, what we have to say here, in a way, the master is not individually concerned. Okay. And I think I need something for individually, don't you? INDL. Let's try that. Individually concerned. Well, great decentralization and selflessness occurs as we progress, and naturally we do not stay encapsulated. It is the members of the counterforce which, on their own line of evolution, seem to remain encapsulated. And that, of course, is a big problem because it resists their absorption into the larger benevolent process. The groups affected by the progressive initiatory process to which the disciple is being subjected are three in number. And these effects, well, okay, so let's just say that whatever is in general, okay, in general, and I keep on seeing, you know, good ones. It's like going fishing. Okay. So, in general here, there are constant group effects associated with the individual's initiation. So they are three in number, the groups affected, and these effects differentiate and condition his group service according to the initiation being undergone. It is from this angle that we must study the initiation, the ray effects, and the results produced within the three groups, and not simply the effect on the apparently encapsulated individual. So these, what's he going to talk about here? These groups which are affected, and maybe how they are affected, let's see what he says. These are the group in which the initiate is working upon the physical plane, and which is an externalization existing on the mental and astral planes of some phase of work sponsored by the new group of world servers. Okay, all disciples and initiates in physical manifestation are at this time members of that group, which is the focal point of the present effort being made by the hierarchy. Through it, spiritual energy from five ashrams is flowing. Okay, well, we're going to learn here some important information to which I often refer about the masters involved in the externalization process. But note that the group is more. Such groups are more than simply physical, physical groups, and have their astral and mental compartments, or what's a good word for here? Maybe it's too early in the morning, but they have their astral and mental factors, or constituents, factors, I suppose, will do. So these groups are mental, astral, and physical, and they are sponsored by the hierarchy. So each one of us, maybe according to our rays, is working on, if we're a disciple, in such a group upon the physical plane. And this is all, of course, part of the externalization process. Right. The new group of world servers seems to sponsor it, yes, but the hierarchy is behind that which the new group of world servers does and behind that with which the servers are cooperating. So what groups are these? And I think we're going to find five of them. The ashram of Master KH, particularly in regard to the work of education, interestingly, Master DK is not associated with education, and yet he is, of course, a predominant member of Master KH's ashram. Okay, and OFC, and that will be of course. Okay, of course, of course. So that's Master KH. He is the leader of the second ray ashram at this time, and all other ashrams within his ashram, whether they are, and they would be, of course, controlled and directed by masters, are very much under his will and intention. Okay. Then the ashram of Master DK, myself, particularly in regard to aspirants for initiation, so many of us can consider ourselves under training by Master DK, regardless of our ray, at least at this time. Okay. Then there's the ashram of the Master R, particularly in regard to the reorganizing and reconstruction of Europe from the point of view of economics. This would be, as the World War II is coming to an end. And the, let's say, prognostication of the EU, I think, of the European Union. He is the regent of Europe as well as of the United States. So he, and the seventh ray is the ray which particularly will bring economic reorganization to the world, aided by the third ray. The seventh ray expresses the third ray intentions, but in a very particular and clearly manifested manner. The ashram of Master Moria, as he seeks to find, influence, and direct the activities of workers in the political field throughout the planet, and we can see some of the workers who have been affected. I suppose Lincoln was affected, FDR, in the older days, and more recently, Nelson Mandela, he's a good one. It bears the stamp of Master Moria, a huge reorganization, but done avoiding the great bloodbath that might have occurred. We can measure the various political leaders by the scope of their international understanding and by their selflessness. Maybe Ataturk was such a one as well. He was said to have to use the Shambhala force in a disinterested manner. And D.K. pointed out that we would learn in what a disinterested manner, that is, lacking self-interest, Ataturk used the Shambhala force. And then the ashram of Master Hilarion, as he supervises the discoveries and the application of such discoveries of the scientific movement in the world today, and not all is allowed to be discovered, at least prematurely. But we have to wonder whether atomic energy and its constructive and destructive effects was not discovered too early. We're told that it was planned for the age of Capricorn. Somewhere is that reference, and excuse me, that would have been some 2,300 years ahead, or 2,400 years ahead. So these five groups, we can be a member of one or other of these five groups, and maybe sometimes, as in the case of Master KH and DK working so closely, perhaps in the membership of both. Being a member of Master DK's ashram automatically, eventually precipitates us into the circle of Master KH's group in a conscious way. So, okay, we're looking at the groups affected, and here they are. Okay. So first, the groups working on the physical plane. And you might notice that these these three are very much involved in the externalization of the hierarchy. So these five, really, are much involved in the externalization of the hierarchy, and the rays expressed are the second. The first, in the case of Master Moria, and the fifth, in the case of Master Hilarion. And now we move on to the second of the three groups we're looking at. Okay. The groups affected by the progressive initiatory process to which the disciple is being subjected are three in number. That's what we are examining. It's easy to get involved in the specifics of various paragraphs and sort of forget what the origin of the study was. So these are the groups that differentiate and condition his group service according to the initiation undergone. So it's always that we have to study the group effect. Okay, so I'll put that in here, that we must always study the group effect. It is the most important in this group age, the age of Aquarius, and this amalgamation into ever larger groups is necessary to carry forth and complete the time-space schedule of our planetary logos, we have been told. Okay, so here are the five, and now the second group, the group which may regard itself consciously as the initiate's own group, because every initiate is distinguished by forming a group around him or her, in the sense that he is slowly influencing those around him, collecting the personnel, and forming the nucleus of the ashram by means of which he someday may serve the world. So, okay, the initiate's own group. And, of course, we see that the process, the magnetic process of gathering and, of course, evaluating the rightness of those who are gathered, and the continual work, I suppose, through some incarnations into the future towards the time when those gathered may form the nucleus of an ashram. All of this is proceeding. All those who are taking initiation do not necessarily create their own ashrams, though a large number do so. Maybe it depends on the Ray, let's see if he tells us what this depends upon. The work of those initiates who, the work of those initiates who do not form an ashram is mysterious in the extreme from the point of view of aspiring humanity. And there is little I can say on the subject. These initiates work in connection with plans emanating from Shambhala, which humanity can know nothing. So, our work, our studies, have to do with the masters who are connected with humanity particularly, and probably those upon the Buddhic plane are most closely studied by disciples of our kind. So these, the kind of groups that he's saying, the type of work of those masters who do not form groups is as follows, at least in one respect. They work with the three subhuman kingdoms in nature, each of which has its own peculiar and specific band of initiate workers. If they do not do this, they transfer into certain groups of workers who are engaged in activities connected with the deva or angel evolution, or in relation to the manifestation of energies of which I can tell you nothing. Well, this is either because I don't suspect it's because he doesn't know. I suspect because it is not allowed to be discussed with us at this time, you know, in public ways through public books. But we shall deal only with the expansion of consciousness and the experience of those initiates who remain in their activities and aims related to humanity and to the hierarchy. So let's... So, in other words, we are not studying the initiates who work with the sub-human kingdoms, nor those who work with the deva evolution. We have enough on our plate, I think, simply to deal with those who are members of the hierarchy who work with the human family. But it is interesting, you know, there's such diversity of work that is possible, and it's a huge and intricate expanse of possibilities for spiritual labor. But we'll have to take it one step at a time, as we know even so little about those aspects of the hierarchy that work with the average disciple and the groupings that are formed by disciples and the ways in which disciples enter larger groupings and the ashram. All of this must be carefully and clearly revealed to students such as ourselves. So it might be pointed out that the work of the Deva evolution comes under the ray energy of the third Buddha of activity. Well, the third ray is always associated with the Deva kingdom. Now, think Deva kingdom. Right. So, if I were to do this, DVK, that's how it would work. So, that's the third ray, and we must remember that the Deva kingdom, you know what I want. I want that nice D, let's see if I can do this. DVK. Okay. I want to spell it out in a different way, capitalizing it, you know, more correctly. And let's see if that can be done. DVK, replace. All right, we will replace. Okay. So we must remember that the Deva kingdom is associated with the sacral center of the planet. And this center has a very close connection to the form building, third ray. Okay, might be pointed out here that that's the second ray. Rather the third ray for the Deva kingdom, and the third Buddha of activity. The work of humanity comes under the influence of the ray energy of the second Buddha of activity, who embodies in a most peculiar sense the conditioning energy of the hierarchy. Now, these are great beings, you know, as stated, they were planetary logoi in the previous solar system of our solar logos. So they are in an exalted position in Shambhala. They work somewhat under the law of sacrifice in connection with Sanat Kumara. Or maybe I should say the Sanat Kumara. So that's the second ray. And eventually, humanity will be a second ray kingdom. Right now it's more a fourth ray kingdom with a fifth sub ray, and later it will be a second ray kingdom with a fourth sub ray. And then the work of the subhuman kingdoms of nature is under the energy stimulation of the first Buddha of activity. I think, you know, we see something interesting there. We might say, the Shambhala connection. And when it comes to the mineral kingdom, there has been released atomic energy of a most destructive nature. Well, depending, of course, on how it is used. So this is an interesting configuration that the first Buddha of activity is concentrating on unconscious lives who are on their way to becoming human. But if the the second Buddha of activity has a conditioning energy which affects hierarchy or conditions the energy of hierarchy, then we might suspect that the first Buddha of activity is in some way strongly involved with the Shambhala energy. Each of these great energizing lives works through certain masters and initiates of the sixth initiation. That's an interesting piece of information, and one that is not likely to be so often found in our consciousness. So the Buddhas of activity, that could be BOAV. I think we're going to have to do that. Otherwise, we'll get Bank of America in there. Buddhas of activity. So BOAS, Buddhas of activity, and BOAA. Let's put it that way for single Buddha. Buddha of activity. Okay, each of these Buddhas of activity work through a, through Chohans. Chohans, and they are of the sixth degree. These masters work in full consciousness upon the atmic plane. So they are Chohans working upon the atmic plane, the plane of the spiritual will. It is suggested here, simply becoming a master of the fifth degree does not allow one to work in full consciousness upon the atmic plane. Okay, the plane of the spiritual will. From that high level, they function as transmitting agents for the energy of one of the three Buddhas of activity. So interesting that here is a connection between certain numbers, between the three and the six. And I should say the numbers three. DK points to that important connection, just as one and two are related, and two and four are related. So are three and six. The masters are sixth degree masters. The Buddhas of activity work in general upon the third ray, even though each one of them is delineated on one of the first three rays of aspect. These three Buddhas are the creative agents of the planetary logos and are the wielders of the law of evolution. And remember here that the will to evolve is connected with the third ray. Okay. So evolution and the three Buddhas on the third aspect, generically on the third aspect, are connected with the law of evolution. So this is the second group with which the candidate, the initiate, will come into contact and which his initiations will effect. But then DK expanded the subject beyond the initial subject. So, of course, the initiate's own group, okay, will be affected by what happens to him. You know, if he advances, he cannot help but raise up those whom he has gathered to help implement his plans and his will. Okay, now what is the nature of the third group involved here? Okay, and we remember the devas under the third Buddha of activity, the humanity under the second, and the subhuman kingdoms under the first, and that these great planetary lives work through certain Chohans, okay, and And the Chohans transmit many energies, but importantly, the energy of one of the three Buddhas of activity, and we looked at the 3-6 connection. And here is the third group, the ashramic group, of which the initiate is a part, and within which his influence or spiritual radiation is increasingly felt. Okay, now, this, let us distinguish between group number one and group number three. This third group, let's see, GR would be good for group, wouldn't it? Okay. This third group is not the same as the externalized groups, five of them in this instance, discussed by Master DK as the first group. Okay, so we saw that Master KH, Master DK, Master R, Master Moria, Master Hilarion, they were the head of a number of externalized groups, but now we're talking about specifically the ashramic group, and maybe, you know, it is not either externalized or fully externalized. The awareness of the initiate and his ability to work consciously within this triplicity of groups becomes the major objective of all his efforts once the third initiation is left behind. So somehow in one of the five externalizing groups, maybe, you know, working within his own group that he is gathering, yes, and also within the more inner ashramic group. So this is the objectives of those who leave the third initiation behind. So these are the objectives of those who leave the third initiation behind. His magnetic radiation and the expression of his controlling energies prior to this stage of unfoldment is that of the soul working through the personality. After the third initiation, this radiation and energy expressed becomes increasingly monadic, though the soul energy still remains working through at first through the soul and later through the spiritual triad. So after the third initiation, this radiation and the energy expressed becomes increasingly monadic and subject to three stages. So now we're speaking of radiation and energy expressed, okay? Okay, so now we speak of radiation and energy expressed by the initiate after the third degree, okay? Third degree, okay. The stage we're in, the lowest aspect of the spiritual triad, that of the abstract mind, becomes potent as the conveyor of ideas. Of course, the pure ideas are coming from higher planes. These are transformed by the initiate into ideals for the service of humanity. So this is we have a 3-6 connection, because the abstract mind is generically related to the number 3, and ideals to the number 6. I think we should always try to be aware of the numerological patterns which are underlying what is said. So we're talking about radiation and energy expressed after the third degree. The abstract mind is growing. Of course, even masters can and do use the abstract mind. Can and do use the abstract mind, the lowest aspect of the spiritual triad. Okay. The stage we're in, pure reason plus the spiritual will, that's Buddhic and Atmic energy, makes him an effective server of the plan and a transmitter in a progressive manner of the purpose underlying the plan. I mean, it isn't transmitted all at once. The monadic purpose is not transmitted all at once, but progressively. So we see that Buddhi, B-D-B-I, Buddhi and Atma combine in this stage. And I think there's, you have to put that in as a word that is needed. We see that Buddhi and Atma combine in this stage, the initiate knows the plan, not entirely, but enough to really work intelligently and effectively with the divine plan. And then, of course, purpose, divine purpose, comes through the divine plan slowly and progressively. And then the energy and radiation in the third stage, beyond the third initiation, the stage wherein pure monadic energy pours through him, focusing the will to good, as registered by the hierarchy, and the sense of universality, not a vague phrase, but a specific potency upon the physical plane. So this third phase is associated with manifestation upon the physical PSP, physical plane. Okay. The stage wherein pure monadic energy pours through him, and not necessarily mediated, it seems, by either Atma or Buddhi, but pure. And the two factors conveyed, the will to good and the sense of universality. Now, these are important energies which are characteristic of the monad and tell what the monad bestows upon the advancing initiate. So the sense of universality, a specific potency, that should be noted, because so often when we say that, we do go a bit vague about it and think, well, it simply means that we appreciate greater and greater wholes. Of course, that is true, but there is some kind of relationship to each advancing whole. So from the monad, the will to good and the sense of universality, let's just say these two energies are the endowments of the monad. A close study of these developing ranges of activity and of expanded consciousness will indicate why and how the planetary life is one immense synthesis. our planetary life is one immense synthesis of ordered activity. DK conveys this so very well. So we have been progressing. Let's just say, okay, can I make that go ahead? I hope so. Whoop. Okay. And this should be, of course, bigger, but I'll just let it be. I mean, that's close enough. Okay, so first, the abstract mind is the area of radiation and energy. Then the energy of the buddhic plane and the atmic plane. And then the energy and radiation of the monad as the will to good and as the, what he calls, the sense of universality. Okay, well, these are things that we can look forward to, states of realization supported by energies we have contacted as we advance beyond the third degree. He told us he would tell us something about these higher states, even though the initiation underlying them, sort of as the foundation of them, would not be available to the mass of humanity, but maybe increasingly to the disciples of the world. As I interestingly noted in Initiation Human and Solar, pages 84 and 85, it tells us how the second, third, and fourth initiations are usually taken in the same life or in the next. So there are great possibilities offered, and the advancing initiate goes through these various stages. So these are stages of energy, contact, and conscious realization through which the advancing initiate after the third degree passes. Okay, let's see. We maybe have time for, do we? I'm not sure we do. Maybe for a little more, let's see. The ray energies utilizing and the created form world and the world of formless forms. That's a very interesting way of describing the cosmic etheric levels of activity, because after all, we are dealing with the cosmic physical plane. So we certainly have not transcended form, but we've in the etheric part of the cosmic physical plane, we've transcended form as we know it and relate to it on the denser levels. The ray energies, utilizing the created form world and the world of formless forms, constitute a great and applied process of initiatory activity, governing, controlling, and conditioning every expression of divine life in all the kingdoms of nature, subhuman and superhuman and superhuman. This governance and control naturally determines much in the initiatory process. It is into this world of active moving energies, I suppose specifically cosmic etheric, that the initiate penetrates and within which he must consciously play his part, because the consciousness of those initiates beyond the third degree is really focused in the spiritual triad, the activities of the spiritual triad, the world of formless forms. As you well know, the work of the aspirant today is to become a conscious, self-controlled, and spiritual worker in energy within the ring path knot of the three worlds, and, as I have frequently pointed out, to function first of all in control of his physical instrument, demonstrating this as at the first initiation and during succeeding initiatory processes. So let's look at this, emphasize the work of the aspirant today is to become a conscious, self-controlled spiritual worker in energy within the ring past not of the three worlds. We are not yet that worker in energy who can function with any kind of real control or intelligence in the worlds of the spiritual triad, though we can receive those energies. So the functioning of the aspirant must pass through the first initiation, which will help him initially as a spiritual worker in energy within the ring past not of the three worlds. Secondly, to control his emotional feeling nature, demonstrating that control at the second initiation. At the third initiation, he has to bring into visible activity the mental element and thus function in the three worlds as a soul-infused personality, utilizing the illumined mind as the fusing and synthesizing factor. So this is a very good definition of the kind of activity that one must demonstrate at the third degree. Emotional control, we're familiar with that idea, however difficult it may be to achieve it. And now we're extending our understanding into the direction of the third initiation. He has to bring into visible activity the mental element, and not just the concrete mind, but the concrete mind as influenced by higher aspects of mind as three minds begin to unite, and thus function in the three worlds as a soul-infused personality. It's not fully possible before this time. The mental element would be left out, so to say, to thusly function is not fully possible before this time. And you might wonder even if the antechamber of the fourth degree must be reached before the candidate can function fully as a soul-infused personality. But in any case, at the third degree, he is functioning as what DK calls a soul-infused personality, probably three-quarters soul-infused in a way, utilizing the illumined mind, and I might add spiritual intelligence, as the fusing and synthesizing factor or factors. These things accomplished, he can again in full consciousness begin to be active as a radiating point of crisis and producer of the needed tension. Well, some may consider that they are that now and go about trying to create crises and points of tension, but this is happening quite naturally from the radiation of the advancing initiate. So beyond the third degree, the initiate becomes, as this sentence from the old commentary describes. And I think old commentary, we don't want to do without that. Old commentary, OLC. And the old commentary. So this is what we're working towards, effectiveness in the three worlds and in three different strata of the three worlds. And then beyond the third degree, we can, interestingly, the fourth degree looms. And it's a degree ruled by the fourth ray, which constantly induces crisis, and I might say tension, and the resolution in harmony of the crisis produced and the tension held. So this is our future as we work together along the initiatory path. Well, this will bring us to the end of this particular work. We're on page 589. We began at 85. So this is the end of Rays and Initiations webinar commentary, number 74. And the day is the 22nd of February, 2017. And, not quite 29, 2017. The pages are from 585 to 589, the beginning of that. And so we have the beginning of Rays and Initiations webinar commentary number 75 coming up. What day it will be on, I don't know. Pages 589 to whatever it may be. Yes, there's so much deep information here, and the progress of the initiate and the way the various rays enhance that progress is being dealt with. Let's just say the rays, the various rays enhance the initiatory progress of human beings, but of other lives, subhuman and superhuman. Okay. The rays are behind this kind of process. And our work, of course, deals with the redemption of the dense physical plane using energies which come from the cosmic ethers, whereon we will learn to focus with consistency when we become higher initiates. Okay, we will move on and continue discussing these deep matters, and hopefully into your mind, into my mind, some of this sinks in and conditions the quality of the kind of service that we can offer. So we'll see you a little bit later. Bye-bye.